Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is hair a material?
Are biscuits a material?
Are crystals a material?
Is plastic a material?
Is porridge a material?
Can gases be a material?
Are eggs a material?
Is water a material?
What do you call everything that isn't a material?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at your question.
And yet you continue to do so.
Hello, and welcome back to Handmade, the making podcast with real talk about materials. I'm your host, material scientist Anna Pajaisky, and this episode I talk to embroiderer Julia Lodigna about her craft. I was first introduced to Julia through a previous guest on the podcast, Meghna Giridhar, who recommended Julia as one of the brilliant artists creating work for Meghna's platform, Let's Curate. Julia is based in Moscow, so we met and chatted online over Zoom, and I started by asking Julia how she came to embroidery.
Actually, I'm quite new to embroidery. I've always been artsy, and I've always done some kind of craft or art or anything. I have a physical need to do something by my hands. It's always been like that since my early days. I've been drawing and I've been doing macrame, I've been doing painting, writing, you know, dancing, anything, you name it, I've actually done it probably. But I had a few goes at embroidery and it felt so tight for me. It felt like there was no freedom because there, you know, you had to follow the pattern, and that's definitely not what I'm about.
Okay.
So it kind of felt like I didn't really fit in it. Mm-hmm. And last year, actually somewhere around this time, a year ago, a friend of mine gifted me an online course in modern embroidery. And it wasn't to start for another month from the moment when she gifted me the course. And I thought, okay, well, I said, no, don't do that. I don't want to do embroidery. It's something, I mean, really, where is embroidery? Where is me? And, you know, I'm happy with what I do. I paint, I wood carve and things like that. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to do it. But she insisted. I was like, okay. And during this month before the course started, I decided, okay, let me try. It was actually the lockdown, the strict lockdown when you couldn't really go anywhere. But I do have everything at home for whatever craft or anything you want to do. You'll probably find it in my place. I collect textiles and floss and all kinds of beads and, you know, anything actually. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, okay, I have a small weird hoop, plastic hoop, and I have obviously lots of textiles and some floss. Let's see where it takes me. And then this first month without instruction, without any plan, it was perfect. I think it was actually the very intense journey into myself within embroidery and seeing what I can do, what I cannot do, what I'm about, and things like that. I keep saying it's embroidery is hugely therapeutic, as I think most kinds of art. But for the moment, I think embroidery has been the best kind of art for going deep inside who you are and trying to understand and accept you with your own faults and, you know, imperfections and things like that. And I think it's that's where I started. And then obviously I went through this course just hanging out with the girls and seeing completely different styles and works. But I think I was I kind of got prepared for this. So nothing really changed for me, except for I found myself within a group of interesting people who were into embroidery. And then, you know, when I went onto Instagram, I found that the community of stitchers and textile artists, it's just nothing I can compare it to, because there's so much support, there's so much help and admiration and value. You feel so much value to be a part of this community that I haven't felt in any professional or artsy community that I've been a part of throughout my life. So yeah, that's how it started.
Amazing. It's so nice, isn't it, to find that kind of community. It's really interesting how embroidery or textile crafts in general has kind of stuck out for you. I got really into knitting a couple of years ago and still am into it. And I've found a similar thing. The sort of online communities of knitters and crocheters and people that are into wool is like extreme.
That's true. That's true. It's the support of each other is, you know, everybody keeps saying community over competition. And that's exactly how you feel. Because everyone has a part, his own, her own part in the community. And, you know, the co-stitchers or co-artists are just show so much respect for this place of yours in within this community. It's incredible.
That's so nice. And what a good time to have gotten into it as well this year or last year.
Absolutely. I think I couldn't have found any better time for that, especially, you know, with quite a long and strict lockdown and also my personal reasons for staying at home. So it's perfect. Yeah. It's just it's been amazing to me, and I think I've grown. I've developed my own style, and I'm still in it. And I, you know, I enjoy it as much as I can, actually.
Yeah. So can you tell us a bit more about the work itself? What sort of materials are you working with, and what processes do you use?
Well, the main materials are cotton or any other textile and floss. It doesn't have to be embroidery floss, as I am a big fan of little tiny works, tiny stitches. So I very often use just sewing floss or any other kind of thin floss. That, you know, I like to fill huge parts of the textile with very tiny stitches of one strand floss. So that's the main thing, the main materials. But obviously sometimes the work itself kind of demands that I add something, and that's where the fun part starts, because it can be anything. And again, with so many things that I've accumulated throughout my travels or just liking to collect stuff, I've done, well, I think the funniest part was when I used doll's eyes on one of the pieces.
Oh, wow.
And it still does look to many people a little bit weird, but I enjoyed it hugely. I'm very much into repurposing and recycling. So in one of my pieces where I hand dyed the textile with different things, all kinds of natural plants and walnut husks and things like that. So it had very natural stains, which weren't really, I mean, it just like, it was almost like marbling. Mm. Cool. And that work, that piece actually demanded that I use something recycled, and I decided to recycle some green plastic bags. Mm. And I've collected whatever I had at home, and then my sister also brought me a huge bag of bags. And then I created this process of recycling when I first boiled them, then I started beating them and then stretching them and then ironed them, and I got different kinds of textures throughout to ironing depending on the pressure and on the speed of ironing. And so I got something that I call plastic lace. Mm. And then some plastic sheets that I've then cut out sequins out of, and different little different shapes that I then attach to the embroidery. And it kind of has a feel that it's something organic and natural. Mm. And yet it's you understand that it's something that really doesn't exist. It's something completely different. It could be extraterrestrial. It could be from some unexplored parts of the ocean, or it could be, you know, nothing at all.
Was that's an amazing sort of preparation process that you're describing there with the plastic bags. Was that something that you came up with yourself, kind of experimentally?
Yeah. I have this kind of personality. I like to reinvent the wheel, so to say, because I really like to have my own way of creating something. And very often it's probably easier to go online to YouTube or somewhere else and learn this kind of stitch or this kind of process or whatever. But I prefer to create it within my mind and then just try out and see how it works. Mm. With plastic bags, it works. With some stitches, it doesn't always work, but then I get there and I think some of them are my own creations.
So where do you get your inspiration from?
My main inspiration is during my work. Actually, it's like the process itself. And I don't ever plan what it will look like or what it should look like. I don't ever plan what it's going to be, apart from maybe when I see a text that, like a piece of textile that I, that somehow says, okay, this is my turn. And I guess that could be called an inspiration, because I, you know, I choose it. Mm-hmm. And then I choose the colors of the floss that goes with it. And as you can probably see in my works, most of them are monochromatic in this or that shade or hue. And then I get excited or obsessed with one kind of stitch, and then I just make one stitch after another, one after another, and then suddenly it starts looking like something. Mm. It's that's where my inspiration comes from.
Interesting. So it's, yeah, like you say, it's kind of like the work itself sort of evolves as you go, but you don't have any sort of plan initially.
Absolutely. Never. No sketches, no, you know, no plans, no patterns, no nothing. Just pour myself onto the textile and see where it takes me.
It hasn't
actually taken me anywhere bad yet. So I guess I'm lucky.
That's great. At the beginning of our conversation, you were talking about your course that you took, and you called it modern embroidery. I think some listeners might possibly think of embroidery as being quite a sort of traditional craft. How does modern embroidery... Yeah, it has this sort of reputation, right? How does modern embroidery sort of fit into the lineage of the craft? I suppose my question is kind of, how does your work fit into that sort of story of how embroidery has evolved over the years?
I think that I keep saying, but then sometimes I'm a little bit misunderstood, but I think in modern embroidery, there is nothing wrong or nothing right, you know, not a single stitch is wrong, but then not a single stitch is right either.
Okay.
So when you think about modern embroidery and huge amounts of different styles and directions, it's incredible what you can do with just piece of cloth and on a textile or not on textile, because some embroider on different materials, including wood bark and, you know, different things. And it's incredible how free it is. Again, with all kinds of arts that have evolved from more classical, more classical styles, you can see that embroidery also, you know, you can do all kinds of abstract embroidery and it will have its own piece in modern art history, I'm sure, as well as incorporating some classic styles or classic elements into it, and then, you know, you can combine as well as, again, colors and shapes and techniques, everything. I mean, this is something that just gives you wings, and you can do whatever, you can fly wherever with just being close to your hoop.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It'd be awesome to hear a story of a sort of a particularly special piece of work that you've made. Have you got a favorite or a favorite story behind a piece of work?
You know, I guess I have to start with saying that I'm not so much into the finished product itself. It, for me, the most important is the process. And so much so that when the works are finished, I sometimes actually don't believe that I've done this. And I have a difficulty naming them because I don't really feel like they belong to me, you know, because it's the process was most important that I've taken out of, you know, this period of my life that I devoted to a work. I am extremely lucky that the finished product is, you know, not too bad, I guess. And my pieces are traveling to private collections all over the world. But
amazing.
Then again, you know, the most important is what I have inside me left after working on this piece. So from this point of view, obviously, the most special pieces I guess, are the ones that I do while being close to my family, to my dad, and, you know, something that gives me great memories, something that gives me great understanding of, again, who I am and where I'm coming from and what I'm about. So one of such pieces was, it was called My Tiny Treasure. It lives in St. Petersburg now in Russia. It's actually quite tiny comparing to all my other works. It's only 13 centimeters in diameter, and it's made of only three shades of gray. And it's all French knots, just little French knots. And it's one of the most meditative techniques for me. And I've done it when I was staying with my dad, who was bedridden. And I knew that I wouldn't really have much time because, you know, nursing and trying to spend as much time talking to him and being there in the moment. So I, just in case that I would have this time, I took like a little tiny piece of cloth and those three shades of gray. And it just somehow, you know, being close to him and talking and remembering things that we've done together in my, me as a child and, you know, and then later on. And just finding myself in the moment, understanding the fragility of life and, that our life ends at some point and we have to cherish every single moment that we actually have. This is mostly about my dad, but also about myself, that I really need to understand how being here and now, you know, is the most precious thing that we have, in fact. So I think it's that one. But each and every piece, obviously, has brought me some beautiful discoveries about myself, which I will cherish, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I was going to ask you what you think about when you're embroidering, but I think maybe you just answered that question already.
Yeah, I think so. It's difficult to say that I'm thinking about something, you know. It's like a meditation. If you've meditated and you understand the process of basically standing on the, you know, on the riverside and seeing your thoughts pass by and not trying to take any one of them or follow any one of them. You just stand there and watch. Yep. And I think it's exactly what's happening with me and the embroidery.
That's so interesting. I get the same thing. I do long distance endurance swimming and I get the same thing doing that. I think
it's very similar. Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, I guess both are quite sort of quite repetitive actions as well. I think that is key with these sorts of things, like rhythmic actions.
Yeah, and then again, you when you're doing the long endurance swim or, you know, the longer works with meditative similar motions that you repeat again and again, it's you're definitely not there for the moment when you're saying, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, you're there for this. And lately I've got myself thinking, I haven't put out anything new on my Instagram account for a while because I've been working for too long on this, you know, the commission that I've had. And I've just felt this thing, just, I think for the first time, I felt I really need to speed up. And then, what? Why? I mean, nothing will change. You just, you know, you continue. You're here for that. You're here for this. One stitch, just one stitch at a time, and that's it. And I think it's a perfect description of what it is to me.
Yeah, definitely. I'm interested in what has surprised you the most in your sort of relatively short time in embroidery, because we spoke earlier about our perhaps preconceived ideas about what embroidery is and kind of its traditions. Yeah, what surprised you the most?
I'd say the freedom of it, you know, because again, having had a few, attempts with embroidery and trying to follow the, the outline of a flower or something is one thing. And then you just let yourself go. And then with only thread and in my case, it's on textile, but it doesn't have to be textile. It can be anything. You can create so much. You can create different textures. You can create different emotions. You can create 3D elements with only floss. And that's incredible. And, I'm quite proud of my... proud and happy of how they come out, my 3D elements and the tassels that I really love to incorporate in my works. And at some point, of course, I do add either, some embellishments, but the base of the work is just floss. And it can be so, it's just like, what is it? I don't know. It's incredible. It's 2D, it's 3D, it's flat, it's, it can be anything. You can do anything with floss, and that's incredible.
So what's next for you then? Are there any sort of unanswered questions that you'd like to follow up on, or have you got any big works in mind?
In that interview that you've read, I mentioned that, I think I found a perfect balance between the size, the texture, the colors that I use. And then since then, I got this completely different commission for such a foreign palette for me. It's in chocolate and it's nothing, no bright contrasts, it's very strict requirements, no sequins, no nothing. It can have stones in it, but it has to be very calm. It has to remind you of mountains and things like that.
Right.
So once I say something like, I'm perfect in a place where I am. There is something that happens that kind of takes me to a completely different direction and takes me out of this, I hate this word, but out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect. I follow gladly. I love to see what comes out in the end, but the process itself, especially with this chocolate palette piece, it's been incredible because I am about color. I am about bold colors. I am about contrasts. I am about things that don't exist in nature. I'm about neon colors and, all kinds of things that don't necessarily seem or feel organic, but with them I kind of create organic shapes. And here I had to start with organic color and going into organic shapes and things like that. So I don't know what's next for me. I think the best way to put it is that I just want to continue stitching and then see where it takes me, and I definitely won't say that I found perfect balance of size, because I already start having ideas of maybe trying something bigger or maybe going really small. It's let's see.
Oh, I'm looking forward to keeping in touch and having a look at what you're up to next.
I'd be very happy for that.
if listeners have enjoyed hearing about your adventures in embroidery, is it easy for people just to pick it up and give it a go? How can people get involved in this?
Well, as I said, I decided to try it out But I'm lucky because I have everything. And should another lockdown come, I can start completely different craft and still have everything needed for that at home without needing to go out and getting it. So if you're lucky enough to have a piece of cloth and some floss, I always say, I think it's important to see what everybody else is doing, but it's most important to just try a few pieces without actual plan, without actual idea. I want to do this mountain or I want to do this flower. Just start and see where it takes you. And then I think this is the best way to see A, if it's for you, B, if it's for you, then what should be your style, C, what kind of objects or, what kind of pieces you can make, what's your color and things like that. It's just until you try, you can't really know, because I am what I thought I would be in embroidery. You know, because I've traveled so much and I've collected so many traditional costumes and headpieces and jewelry and textiles and ornaments and things like that. And having spent my childhood in Africa and have being in love with all kinds of traditional tribal ornaments, which are very geometric in most cases. I thought that's what I would be. You know, I thought I'd be very bold and contrasty geometric pattern style works. But once I started, I found out that I am a completely different person, you know, and also thinking that having painted with huge strokes of paint and, you know, very inaccurate and very open to interpretation, although I think my embroidery is also open for interpretation. But, being like really, there was, I think, some rage inside me that I was trying to get out with these huge strokes of paint. And then finding out that I am actually that person with what my friends call tweezer fingers, you know. I really like to do small stuff. It's incredible. And it's a journey of just finding out who you are. I think if you are thinking whether embroidery is for you or not, then just try, and then try without a plan. That's the main idea.
Brilliant. And if people want to see what you're up to and see examples of your works, where can they find you online?
I think I can join your club of difficult surnames to pronounce. but yet, I don't want to change the name of my Instagram. So I will first say, then spell it. It's jlodygina_art. So it is jlodygina_art.
Fantastic.
So that's where I am.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for chatting to me today. It's been fascinating to hear your perspective on embroidery.
Thank you, Anna.
It's been really nice because you've come at this from such a sort of fresh perspective, I think. And it's really inspirational to see you having come so far in such a short space of time. It really shows that if we put our minds to something, then we can actually achieve really fantastic things. So, you've been really inspirational. So thank you so much for chatting to me.
Thank you so much for having me, Anna. It was a huge pleasure.
So that was the fabulous Julia Lodygina. Thanks so much to her for coming on the podcast and sharing her relatively newfound passion for embroidery. I hope it's inspired some listeners to get stitching too. Before I do the usual credits, I just wanted to begin the hype that my first book, Handmade, A Scientist's Search for Meaning Through Making, is coming out incredibly soon on the 13th of May. You can pre-order it now, preferably from an independent bookshop. Or if you want to, if audio is your thing, then you can hold up for the audiobook version, which I believe will be out at the same time, which I recorded the other week. It was a lot of fun. I sat on my own in a in a studio for 3 whole days, which felt just like one very long podcast episode where I was essentially just interviewing myself. But I promise it's going to be good to listen to, hopefully, better than I made it sound just then. I won't say much more about the book now because there's going to be a very special episode of the podcast coming up in a couple of weeks, focused all on the book. But if you want to keep up to date with exactly, you know, what's going on with the release, all the exciting stuff surrounding it, then you can follow me on social media at Anna Pajaisky. There's a link to that in the show notes. And that's everything for now for this episode. So as always, it'd be awesome if you could like, subscribe and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can say hi to us on social media. We're on Twitter at Real Talk, that's R-A-A-L Talk, and on Instagram at Handmade Pod. If you'd like to support the podcast with a one-time financial donation, you can do so at supporter.acast.com/handmade. Thanks to everyone who's already done that. It really does help to keep the podcast momentum going. As always, a massive thanks to Dave Shepherd for our awesome cover art and to Alex Lathbridge for the music mix. Next week, I'll be talking to Canadian leather maker Daniel Sturmack-Stein. So until then, take very good care and I'll speak to you next time on Handmade.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.